This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
For years, International Women's Day has gone largely unnoticed or was depoliticized. Most people no longer know that its roots lie in the struggle of women garment workers in the United States, or that a mobilization of women in Russia to oppose World War I in 1917 was the spark for an uprising that led to the overthrow of the Tsar and set off the Russian Revolution. But this International Working Women's Day was decidedly different. Thousands showed up to rally, march, demonstrate at Day Without a Woman gatherings across New York City on March 8th, part of a nationwide one-day strike to show women's impact on the American economy. The strike was also a call to organize resistance, not just against Trump and his misogynist policies, but also against the conditions that produced Trump, namely the decades-long economic inequality, racial and sexual violence, and imperial policies abroad. Spotlights were shown on immigrant rights, and the call was loud and magnanimous to welcome those forced by the various necessities of human mobility to cross borders. Embraces were effusive for and enveloped the issues of LGBTQIA sisters and brothers, and similarly heartfelt support was extended to the mothers whose loved ones were murdered by police, and the protectors of indigenous lands and water rights received hearty cheers. This March 8th strike put radical politics at the center of the resistance. Rather than merely espousing shattering glass ceilings that impede women's ascent into career or electoral prominence, the strikers located the oppression of women in capitalism and the free market. Let's listen.
My name is Rabia Athabani. I'm a Yemeni American community organizer. To my right is Wadad Hassan, who is also one of the organizers of the Bodega Strike. And right here is Huda Qureshi. She is a Yemeni American businesswoman who shut her business today in solidarity to be here with us today. On February 2nd, less than a week after President Trump signed the executive order halting all immigration from seven predominantly Muslim countries, including Yemen, I, along with Wadad Hassan and Samar Nasser and other organizers, helped organize a Yemeni bodega strike to mobilize thousands of Yemeni bodega owners to shut down business in protest against Trump's illegal Muslim ban. These are businessmen that never really close shop, and they shut their businesses down for 8 hours. Following the great success of the bodega strike, thousands of Americans throughout the country took to the streets, and strikes were organized in other major cities and towns. A week later, the courts struck down that ban. Strikes work, boycotting works, protests work, and this is why I am here with you today. And like all immigrants, my family came to this country in pursuit of the American dream. Trump's ban has profoundly affected my family. Yemen has, in the past 2 years, there's been a full-out war, a war that is being waged by the Saudis and the unwavering assistance of the United States. Together, Saudi Arabia and the U.S. are pounding one of the poorest countries. This violence against my beloved homeland has internally displaced millions of Yemenis and has left thousands of refugees throughout the world. Many of the displaced are women and children. Some who have received visas through American spouses. My uncle, his wife, and their 5 children have had to live in Jordan since the beginning of the war. They had applied for resettlement in the United States and were approved until the first Muslim ban. On the night of Trump's signing, I called my uncle. He was in tears. I always believed that the United States was a country that welcomed immigrants. This is what he told me. This racist, bigoted ban has affected my more immediate family as well. My husband, Bashir Othman, is an independent Yemeni writer who served as the director of the Yemeni Institute for Social Studies. Bashir is a man who has sacrificed his own safety and security and who has dedicated his career to fighting extremist ideologies. In December of 2015, Yemen became increasingly dangerous for him. So he escaped the war, traveling to Goa, India. I petitioned for him to join me in the United States. His application went through a rigorous process of vetting. It lasted about a year. And it was approved, actually, November 18 of 2016. We'll finally be united. But then the bigoted ban was signed. I have a constitutional right as an American to have my husband here with me, just like any other American, and I demand it. That's it. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you. Thank you.
Feminism for the masses, not just the ruling classes. Now it is my pleasure to introduce Black Lives Matter queer performer poet Jamara Michelle Wakefield.
Today is for the indigenous women. Today is for the black women. Today is for the Asian women and the Latina women. Today is for the Palestinian women and the Iranian women. For the descendants of slaves, for the colonized women, for the lesbian women. Today is for the queer women, for the bi women, for the trans women, for the poor women, for the fat women. Today is for the immigrants and the refugees and the migrant women. Today is for the girls who will become women, the victims of human trafficking women, the women who believe in gods that you do not know women. Today is for the developmentally delayed and the mentally ill women, for the incarcerated women and their families. Today is for the HIV positive women, for the women fighting cancer, for the women who live without health insurance. Today is for the infertile women who pray that their bodies will work women, for the homeless women menstruating in the streets. Today is for the low-wage women who can't take a day off from work. Today is for the women who don't eat because they don't have the money to eat. Today is for the women who clean your campuses who you refuse to see, for the adjunct professors who your campuses and your colleges refuse to pay. Today is for the women who are talked over in meetings, the women who are arrested for petty crimes. This is for the women who are drowning in debt and who feel ashamed about it. This is for the married women who still don't have enough help. This is for the sex worker women. And I want you to imagine not only a day without women. Let's remind them that the whole world would fall apart without women. See, there is no reproduction without women. And really, to be honest with you, I could stop the poem right now. Because if we no longer made our bodies available for procreation, the world would literally die. Jackie Joyner Hersey, I am black gold and running on you. We long jump heptathlon, we long jump heptathlon, we shot putt, we javelin throw. Thank you, Sister Jamara. One more time.
Next up, our wonderful people from the New York State Nurses Association, a union of 40,000 members. Please welcome Judy Shaidan Gonzalez.
Do you feel the fire? While manufacturers make obscene profits, where droughts and disasters hit vulnerable populations as fossil fuel magnates make billions, caring little about these drastic climate changes, where water, air, and soil are contaminated by chemicals and pipelines, while corporations salivate over profits, ignoring the collateral damage. Where whole sectors of society are marginalized, demonized, scapegoated, assaulted, deported, and murdered, and then blamed for the problems that exist in our world. Where people who work hard all their lives find their jobs disappear due to mergers, relocations, de-skilling, perversions of technology, aging out, and outsourcing, all in the name of the bottom line. This is the collateral damage of capitalism. Nurses every day see when uninsured patients put off a medical visit only to find that they have advanced incurable disease. When the frail elderly have to choose between medications and food. When mental illness destroys families. And we know we're going to see a lot more of that if things continue. The repeal of the ACA, as weak as it is, will result in countless more health care tragedies. The loss of the safety net will destroy our public health system, and de-skilling of caregivers will only further the inequities we face. Finally, the unrelenting attacks against unions will deny access to many more people. And who bears the brunt of these attacks? Immigrant women, women of color, poor women, and our children statistically suffer the most. Women are already working two jobs, one inside the home and one outside the home. Our union supports a single-payer healthcare system, healthcare for all. We believe that quality healthcare is a human right. So factory speed up for nurses means we can't spend time with our patients. It robs us of the humanity of caring. But we refuse to accept this role of the hospital thing. Nurses and patients are human. What we offer is essential. We will light the fires of struggle, not destruction. Women can be the light of the future. We only need the courage to take the bold but necessary steps to build a better world.
When women are under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. Before I introduce the next speaker, I just want to take a moment to remember a woman who we lost yesterday, a civil rights leader, lawyer, who gave her mind and soul and body to the people's struggle. Lynn Stewart, presente!
Our next speaker is a biological trans woman, activist, Jew, and a member of RDSW, the Retail Wholesale Department Store Union, Octavia Leona Conner.
I am here on behalf of workers as a strike success story. The workers of Babeland voted to unionize. It was a long, long struggle. And you know what got the bosses to listen to us? It wasn't appealing to them as humans. It wasn't appealing to them as feminists. It wasn't appealing to them as women. It was appealing to their bottom dollar. When the bosses tried to bust us, when the bosses tried to keep our union from forming, they used their liberal identity politics, their statuses as women, as feminists, self-identified, to stop the union from forming. Yeah, right? It took us far too long to get any sort of contract negotiation going. They had a budget they would barely move on for 3 whole months. They were a small, woman-owned, feminist business. They couldn't afford to give us a single penny more. Over 80% of their workforce voted to strike. And the next week, we got a contract that was nearly triple the budget they said they would give us. Boss feminism is not my feminism. My feminism centers workers, women of color. My feminism centers trans women. My feminism centers sex workers, disabled women. Boss feminism is denial. It is self-interest over solidarity. The workers came together. We agitated, we educated, we organized. And when we did that, we got a coin. When we are united as workers, when we are united as an intersectional workforce, when the sex workers, when the trans woman, when the woman of color, when the disabled woman, when we center those most marginalized in our community, when we listen to them, when we put their voices forward, when our goal is to not only help them survive, but thrive. That is when our feminism is a success. I gotta say, I am tickled, like, not pink, I'm tickled red, that there are no Democrats on stage today. Thank goddess for all the people out there who are fighting against this neocolonialist, imperialist, budding fascist regime that we have going on over here. Thank God I have a union! Like I said, center the most marginalized of us and strike! Strike against box feminism! Strike against white feminism! Strike against cis feminism!
Feminism for the masses, not just for the ruling classes! Right! For the last several months, we know the fierce resistance has continued at Standing Rock. But here to talk is Betty Lyons, president of the American Indian Law Alliance and an indigenous and environmental activist.
Please welcome. Welcome to Haudenosaunee territory. I'm a proud citizen of the Onondaga Nation. The women's rights movement started with Haudenosaunee women. And we're gonna be invisible no more. Where I come from, women choose our leadership. We set them up and we can take them down. And I'll tell you right now, that bastard sitting in the White House wouldn't be sitting there today if you guys had that privilege as well. The woman that I admire most is Mother Earth. She takes a lot of abuse, she's neglected, she's taken advantage of for her resources, and she's disrespected. And yet she still sends her love to us every single day. What's happening today against Mother Earth is in direct reflection of what's happening in our society. As we see the pipelines going forward, we need to stand up for the rights of Mother Earth. The most effective and compelling movements were movements born from women. We are amazing. I want to say one last thing. Don't diminish your light because somebody else can't stand it. It's too damn bad. Be powerful and know you're loved. Thank you.
I now am honored to introduce Lamis Deek, a Palestinian activist, attorney, and national coordinator.
Israel was thrust upon the Palestinian people in 1948, a racist settler colonialism that was cemented by the murder of over 50,000 Palestinians and the exile of 75% of the Palestinian population, while the rest was subject to a 69-year pattern of massacres and ethnic cleansing. But Zionist colonizers didn't just take Palestinian lands and factories. They took our homes and they slept in our beds. And it takes a particularly ugly ideology to kill a woman, sleep in her bed, and then claim that it is she who is the monster. And that ideology is called Zionism. Founded in the the wealthy halls of Europe to inherit British colonialism by imposing an ethno-religious supremacist state in Palestine. For 69 years, Zionist Israel has decimated Palestine and the entire Middle East. Since 1948, trillions of your tax dollars built for Zionist Israel, the fourth largest killing machine of the world, making Israel the colonial center and global exporter of oppression. And where there is oppression and dispossession, you will find Zionism and you will find Israel. In El Salvador's School of the Americas, in bed with Pinochet in Chile, supporting apartheid in South Africa, beating the war drum against Iran and Iraq, training the NYPD to spy, harass black and brown communities, funding Islamophobia, and building the wall in Mexico. In Palestine, thousands of Palestinian women have been kidnapped and raped inside Israeli dungeons. Inside the Green Line, Palestinian girls are lynched by European and American Zionist settlers who take selfies with their still warm dead bodies. In the West Bank, Palestinian women are sexually harassed by machine gun-toting Israelis, and they die giving birth at Israeli checkpoints. In Gaza, they are starved while their shores are drilled for gas. And we remain, still to this day, the largest refugee population in the world. So yes, but there is also resistance. And I come to tell you that our resistance is beautiful. Robbed of their lands, starved and robbed of their food and their water, dehumanized by international media and stateless, but still we are winning. Israel gave up the myth of victimhood and has joined the ranks of the global right and the Trump regime to wear its racism and violence as a badge of honor, while Palestine rises to the seat of global morality and human dignity. In Palestine, our women reproduce life from what men locked behind Israeli wars. And while Israel exports repression, Palestinians export freedom and liberation. Protests as strikes to the Arab world came from Palestine. Popular resistance tactics shared with the Black Lives Matter movement. The BDS movement reawakened the workers' strike and reignited campus activism. Palestinian freedom fighters fought the Contras in Nicaragua, and in Palestine, they fight for each other, practicing the ultimate self-sacrifice and love of each other, community, and the land. The Palestinian resistance is beautiful, and it is deserving of its Soweto moment when they are joined by all of you in the streets to celebrate their victory in shaking off the yokes of Zionist colonialism, when they can dismantle the Zionist ruling class, which threatens every one of you, every woman, everywhere. And so because their victory is your victory, we ask that you join us in the sacred chant of Long Live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Beautiful. Thank you, Lamise.
No walls, no bans, no deportation. So Noor Abdullah with Sanctuary Campus Campaign.
I am a Palestinian American immigrant. I am also a United States citizen. Because of this, I have not been affected by the new regime's recent executive order. However, I do realize that this is not the case for everyone here and the people that I surround myself with on a daily basis. I am a sophomore at NYU, a member of NYU Sanctuary, and on behalf of Sanctuary Campus movements across the city. My statements today have been collectively authored sanctuary organizers from NYU, the New School, Columbia University, and CUNY. We are a cross-campus group of sanctuary organizers putting pressure on our respective universities to declare themselves sanctuary campuses. Sanctuary in action means adopting a proactive response to violence by pledging to allocate financial, legal, institutional, and political means at our disposal to protect the most vulnerable members of our community. In a moment of profound uncertainty for so many, our universities must allocate their financial resources to aid threatened populations throughout New York City and support university constituents as they channel their knowledge and efforts towards citywide resistance against the Trump administration. I stand here ashamed and embarrassed that our university administrations cannot even commit themselves to systematically protecting their own student, faculty, and staff. NYU is my home, and my home is not a sanctuary. Sanctuary campus movements across the city come together today to make a clear statement to the Trump administration and to our university administrations that we will continue to prioritize and support the most vulnerable members of our communities and build our movement around their needs. We will continue to center around women of color, undocumented folks, queer and trans folks, Muslims, and immigrants. As a student-led movement in collaboration with faculty, staff, and other community members, we insist that other forms of political power are possible. We can help shift the balance of power at our schools in this country. We can hold those in power accountable and demand that they protect our interests over those of wealthy Board of Trustees members and other Trump-supporting stakeholders. Lastly, we can create infrastructure that are networks of support and rapid response, all of which those in power refuse to provide. We are committed to resisting the ignorance and the racism of this administration. And we are here to tell our university administration, this city, and this country that we refuse to be separated from one another. That we are not singular. That we will stand up when, and especially when, it is difficult. And that we will resist. We will not be silent. And we will not stand down. We are fighting back and we will win. Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.